This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Today on the podcast, I'm talking to Demi Pendakis. Demi created Find Your Glow in 2020 through the COVID pandemic. So Find Your Glow, or FYG as it's known, is an affordable, luxury, sustainable home fragrance brand producing scented candles, diffusers, washers and lotions. In the 2 years they've been trading, they've won the prestigious 2022 Home Fragrance Gift of the Year Award for their Memories collection. So as you will know, 2020 isn't actually that long. 2 years isn't that long to do be in business, really, and what Demi has achieved with his brand is fantastic. I met Demi at the Top Draw London trade show back in September and immediately wanted to come on the podcast. We got chatting. Within minutes I realized he had a story to tell, as you will hear for yourself in just a moment or two. Demi is he's really passionate about his business and life, I think, and had so much wisdom to impart. As he'll share with you, he went through a complete career change during the pandemic, left his corporate career, which he's been in for many, many years, to create his own brand of fragrances, which in a completely different industry. And we talk a lot about what that was like, how you can draw on the strengths you have and the experiences and the skills and, you know, how they're transferable. We cover a lot of ground here, actually. It's a really great conversation, and I'm not going to say anything else. I'm now going to introduce you to Demi.
So, hi. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So, can we start with you please giving an introduction to yourself, your business, and what you sell?
So, my name is Demi Pendakis. My business is Find Your Glow. Most people refer to it as FIG now. And we are a home fragrance business supplying scented candles, diffusers, well-being pods, etc. And we won, amazingly and totally humbled, Home Fragrance Gift of the Year for 2022.
I saw that, and I wasn't going to start here, but let's go into that. Is that, how does these awards work, Demi? Is that something you enter, or do customers?
It's something I enter. Yeah. So you enter it through the Gifter Association. I thought I'd put my memories range forwards because that's really where it all started. It was takes you to a place and time, and a lot of what we do with our fragrance is all about mental well-being. And I just remember the emails coming through. Yep, you've been shortlisted. Yep, you're going through to the semis. Yeah, and the final was fantastic because it was voted on by industry experts, both retail, publishers, agents, you name it. So a real spectrum of it. And I had no idea. I turned up to the event ceremony for a nice meal and some champagne, and lo and behold, they called out my name. So it was a bit crazy. That was back.
That's
in
amazing. Well done. And have you found, I'm just really curious now, have you found that having that award to your name, has that changed anything in your business?
Yeah, for two reasons, really. I think the naturally more eyes on the product, more eyes on the brand. Who is this Find Your Glow that's only been running for 2 years? But also, on the flip side, an affirmation to myself that actually I'm not mad, or rather I'm a productive mad, and what I am doing is hopefully is working. And it's honestly, it's been really, really lovely. And even if I didn't win, I mean, that some of the brands that were up before that, my competitors, my peers, they were amazing. But just to get up there and, yeah, just to pick it all up, and almost, because there's a lot of, you would know, and all your other people listening would know, there's a lot of graft in trying to set up a business. So just to get recognized like that by some industry experts is just incredible. It just really gives you almost that kick up the bum to carry on and keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, it's a nice bit of sort of validation, if that's the right word, isn't it?
Yeah,
as I know when we met and we spoke a bit about how your background before doing this was completely, well, not completely different, but you, as you say, you've been doing this for 2 years. So it must be, you know, I'm sure there have been times over those 2 years where you've gone, is this the right thing?
the hardest thing I found was, and I've come from a corporate background, always been employed. I worked for some of the largest companies in the UK and the world, and supplying some of the biggest customers, but always in fashion. And to leave that, and I have three kids, you know, married three kids, to leave that I want to say at my age and think, well, I'm going to do something totally different, very, very scary, you know. And I had a lot of people saying to me, are you mad? You can't do this. You can't. I was like, but I'm also quite stubborn. So whenever somebody says to me, you can't do this, immediately the terminology changes to, okay, how can I do this? How can I prove these guys wrong? But it's been an incredible journey. I wish I could have taken everything that I'd learned in my previous corporate life into this, but naturally it's a different product area. But from a sales perspective, things, you know, there are things that I'm more comfortable with, and there are certain things that are totally new.
Yeah, because I guess there are things that you're doing now that perhaps someone else was handling back in your corporate career.
Well, that, and also, unfortunately, I can't call on any of my fashion connections that I've had in the last 20 years because it's a totally different industry. So I'm having to meet so many other people, other production routes that I otherwise, couldn't approach before. So it's just trying to manage it all. And then you've got the finance and all that sort of stuff. So it's just, it's all in one.
Yeah, it's a lot. So let's start right at the beginning. If you're okay, maybe you've touched on the fact that you worked in the fashion industry for years. Should we start there and then talk about what led up to you starting Find Your Glow, what your inspiration was, and however much you're happy to share with us around that?
No, sure. So I'm first generation born in the UK. I'm a British Greek, as it were. My dad came on a boat, and What I really, really loved about him, and I look at him as kind of my hero, my idol, is that he taught me everything business related, but from a young age, like from the age of 14, 15, I was never really allowed a holiday. It was always a case of, right, Demi, how many weeks have you got for summer, for example? I'd say six. Right, take a week, 10 days now, sit in accounts, sit in production, sit in sales. And he always groomed me, and his background was fashion. So he had, back in the day when you could supply clothing in the UK, manufacture clothing, that's what it was. So I always remember seeing the money almost like as in fabrics and commodities, like fabric rolls, etc. So I got really excited by that. When I left university, I started marketing. I set up my own business at the age of 21, really with his pushing me. And I thought, you know, well, let me give it a go. And I ran a business for 3 years, which was amazing. And him in the background is mentoring me, etc. And he passed away when I was 23, 24, and that took a real, it hit me a lot. I went through a very, very dark phase, and there was a lot of things that happened personally to me. So I took a few months out thinking, what am I going to do? But I always thought, you know, there's your dad that's built whatever he's built in the UK off the back of nothing, really, like coming off a boat. And he's given you the benefit of education, a drive, and a real sense of work ethic. Demi, you can get on with it and do something. And fashion was all I knew. So I restarted my life at the age of 24, acting as a sales exec. And then slowly, and to cut a long story short, started working for some of the largest clothing manufacturers in the UK. So if anyone's ever bought a pair of Jamie or Joanie jeans, for example, from Topshop, well, I've helped produce and manufacture them. And all your Christmas novelties and all the supermarkets, that was me to a point. So, I worked with a number of amazing companies, and I had a really, really enjoyed it up until the last 4 or 5 years, where the industry took a real big turn. It got to the point also for me where, you know, with my daughters, and thinking about how I can inspire them, or how I can teach them going forward. It's like, and I just thought some of the suppliers, some of the people in the industry were just taking too many shortcuts, and that didn't work well with me. So it was 2019. I had a meeting with a large retailer, and there were certain things said in that boardroom. I thought, you know what, this isn't the sort of industry I want to be in anymore. But difficult, because obviously you've got a whole lifestyle, etc. And And I remember going back to my wife, and she's like the pragmatic accountant, and she's you can't leave. And I was like, you know what, mentally I'm proper struggling here. I can't be doing the certain things that, you know, these people want me to do. And I caught COVID beginning of 2020, before anyone knew what COVID it was. I lost my sense of smell, and I just thought, Greek guy, big nose. I thought, okay, I've got sinusitis. That's genuine. I thought I had, but they gave me antibiotics that took my immune system all the way down. That hit me. And then I went to hospital for a little bit, came out, thank God. And when I finally got my senses back, my wife brought me a bowl of figs, and that smell just took me back to my late grandma's garden in Greece. And I just felt, for the first time in a long time, just really elevated. Just that nostalgia of the innocence of youth, just playing with my brother, because she had like a little bungalow in Thessaloniki in Greece, and we used to play football amongst the fig trees and all that sort of stuff. And it just really just took me back to a place in time. And I thought, wow, is there any way I can recreate this potentially? I didn't know anything about candle making then. I thought, what can I do? How can I, you know, I just love the evocative nature of fragrance. So I started researching. I read a number of books. I went onto YouTube, you name it. I went everywhere. And then slowly, a little idea popped in my head. And I finally decided to leave an industry that I'd loved, and I still do to an extent that I've loved, to try something totally different.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you.
It was hard, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, I just, you know, you had lockdown for 6 months, and I thought, come on, I never want to sit my hands anyway. So I just thought, okay, come on, Demi, you know, let's learn something new. And the hardest thing, I suppose, Vicky, the hardest thing was my skill set transferable? You know, that at times you sit there and think, oh, can I move everything I've learned to here? There are new connections you've got to make. You know, are people going to take me seriously? Where am I going to buy my stuff from? So there was a whole, I went the old flip chart route, just wrote everything down and just make sure I managed to tick everything, because I love being a little bit old school. It's the only way I can just see it visually. And slowly, I just started creating something, and it got really, really exciting. And the most important thing that I wanted to create was, I've always lived on three pillars, and one is quality, beauty, and the other one's sustainability. So as long as I have all those three ticked, whatever decision I made going forward, I had to make sure that I have every one of those. And it's been a bit of a crazy journey the last 2 years.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So during lockdown, were you furloughed, or were you still working then?
I was that person. I was that person that unfortunately got nothing, because I'd resigned and left, and obviously I had COVID, and I was not furloughed. I was not self-employed. There were no handouts. I'm not looking for a sob story or anything, you know, but I just sat there and I thought, come on, Demi, you're going to have to make something work in order to get some money in. And that was it. So, yeah, I didn't have anything.
Yeah, I hope you didn't mind me asking. I was just trying to get a sense of the timing, whether this was something you were sort of working on. So it sounds like actually you took the leap to leave your employment before you even had the new business up and running.
Yeah. I didn't realize just, I was new to the industry. I didn't realize all the testing, et cetera, that was involved. But as a result of realizing it, I was working days from 7 a.m. till 2 a.m. I realized it was something I wanted to get out there. There was a lot of research I obviously had to do. You know, you're entering a home fragrance market, it's saturated as hell. Everyone thinks they're a candle brand. Everyone wants to make a candle. Why not? You know, they're so beautiful and ambient and just so warm, and, you know, but I wanted to really create something special. I knew from the outset that I wanted to create something that was an affordable luxury. I had no interest in high street, because they could make all their things abroad. I wanted to be hand poured British, but at the same time, I wanted something that can give my customers a viable option than the beautiful, you know, your diptychs, your Jo Malones are a little bit more expensive, something kind of like an affordable luxury sort of level. And to do that and to be able to compete, everything had to be perfect, from your burns, your timings, everything had to be perfect. So that was a lot of work.
Yeah, I can imagine. And actually, let's talk a little bit about that process of sort of designing your candles, getting them manufactured, because as you said, that's a massive feat. And we can go into as much of as little detail as you want, but I am interested in how you went from, okay, I've got this idea, to, okay, now I've got something, an actual product to sell.
Okay, so the branding that I love, I love simplicity. I love Chanel's branding, just really, really easy. And what I wanted to create was something in my head. I thought, I'm not going to be, I don't see myself going to farmers markets and all that sort of stuff, just purely because I cannot do that. And I always wanted to create a lifestyle brand. We look at our high streets today. This is kind of what inspired me. You look at our high streets today and they're all the same. They're all, with respect to it, they're all rather boring. You know, you have the same shops, the same cafes, the same everything. So I looked and I thought in my head, I thought the vision 10, 15 years down the line, not today, is like, Demi, you want to create a brand that's long lasting, that could potentially go in there and make a difference. I like being a bit of a disruptor, so that can make a difference. How are you going to do that? It's not just going to be fragrance. So we've obviously started with home fragrance, but the idea is we'll move into other areas. And in order to do that, you need something that can transcend that. So not go too cottagey, because that won't really sit well with maybe what you want to do down the line. So I got approached by a branding agency who had seen a couple of things, got my testers. We had at the same time the NHS rainbows and all that sort of stuff going on. So my first memories candle collection was a lovely, again, just nice and simple, that can fit in and almost Scandi looking, that can fit in any home. Matte white glass with a gold inlay with fig, but the boxes themselves are off the back of the NHS rainbow, so they're all multicolored, disbursement of color, which really can give you a. And I also thought, if I'm going to be in a shop, how's somebody going to see me? So here we go, let's go with a bit of color. That's also a nice pick me up. So that's where we started. But I really wanted to capture moments of my past, because I was on this. I was also on this personal journey. So I started looking at, for example, I love the Amalfi. The Amalfi is beautiful, lemon and freesia. So I developed a fragrance for that. We have ones that take you to a place like St. Lucia, Bali, the Maldives. And it's just been, it was really, really lovely. But also it was fun. You know, at the end of the day, it was fun creating these. So, but in order to start off, I also needed to understand exactly what people would have expected to pay. So I did a 300-person survey just to understand what sort of fragrances are people preferring. Have I gone mad? Have I gone totally left field? You know, are people genuinely looking for something? And most of it was yes. So I identified a couple of different price points. And so my memory section was, we retail those at £35. They really take you down memory lane. They're beautiful. They last for a good 45 hours. But then I also thought, let me just do some, what I call back to basics, which are kind of like my fragrance favorites. So like something that smells beautiful, like a nice black fig, really, really lovely. My lemongrass has done really well, or even now, frankincense and myrrh leading up to Christmas. So just real like fragrance favorites. And they're £25 for a candle, again, that lasts for like 40, 45 hours. And they've worked really, really well.
Thank you. And I mean, I have seen your candles in real life. I've even smelt your candles and they are beautiful. I mean, I can still see in my mind your display. You were, I obviously met you at Top Drawer, and from down the aisle you could just see you were so visible because you had this beautiful wall of color behind you, and I can see you've got that on your backdrop now. It's just it's just absolutely stunning. And I think you're right that in a store it would turn heads. People will spot you. And so actually, let's talk a little bit about that, if that's okay, because I know that when we chatted, you mentioned that you do mostly sell B2B. I can see that your candles look just stunning in a shop.
Thank you.
So how have you gone about getting stocked?
Honestly, some cold calling. I did my first show this time last year, actually, this time 2021. And the show paid for itself, which was good, but we got in one key stockist in London. And I think at the end of the day, when you do shows, there's always that reservation. It's, oh, God, it's going to cost £3,000-£4,000. Okay, even in the first show, if you don't cover it, people start remembering you. And one message I'd give to anybody is, you know, obviously think authentic and think about how you're going to make it, how you're going to make yourself a little bit different, because there are thousands of candle brands out there. And about this, I mean, across anything, whatever you do, how are you going to be different? And I picked up a few stockists, but then slowly, they started ticking along. There was a little, I didn't really do much marketing. And in all fairness, the irony is, after doing a marketing degree 20 years later, everything I learned was obsolete. So, you know, you're trying to do so many different things. For myself to customer, I've never done that before, but I've always worked with businesses. So I'm never really shy to pick up the phone and say, listen, are you looking for another home fragrance brand, a little bit of difference? Here's a lookbook. There are certain things that you should do. And things started kicking on. It was in the spring actually that we really took that leap. Spring fair at the NEC for me was just fabulous. I couldn't believe the turnover we took on there, but more so just the level of stockists. I mean, they were for myself, there were garden centres, there were stockists with 13 shops, 9 shops, and all of a sudden the name started getting out there. And I think a lot of what we also try to do, which I haven't talked about just yet, but what we also try to do is as I said, everything is quality, beauty, but sustainable. So all our waxes are natural. They're a vegan wax, rapeseed and coconut. So there's a beautiful burn. But I plant a tree for every candle I sell. And literally up until about, I still need to count now, but up until about 3 weeks ago, we planted over 10,000. And I also give 5% of all my profits to help prevent teen suicides and self-harm. So we're a little community eco brand. I think that struck a note with quite a few different people, quite a few different stockists, just wanting something a little bit different that does that. From my perspective, once you start moving and your stuff sells, it's one thing getting into a stockist and, you know, selling is one thing, you're not selling. There's a lot more trust in it. But I think a lot of our stockists have loved the authenticity behind the brand. There is nothing contrived about it. You know, we like it or loathe it, it's me. Do you know what I mean? So I've just shoved me in the brand. And I think that's kind of what works really, really well. But I've never been shy to pick up the phone and have a conversation. I think to get down the stockist route, there is an element of that.
That's really useful. Thank you. And I'm also wondering what your take on is, you spoke about the fact that your products look amazing. Do you think that's helped you get into stockists? The fact that if someone looks at your products, that, I mean, they have got great branding, great packaging, you could see them on a shelf. Do you see what I mean?
I remember any shop I go into, we're all magpies in some sort of respect. So wherever you go, you're like, wow, look at that. And I wanted to try and create that sort of buzz. And I think I have. I think, you know, my product excites. And what's really lovely and, you know, is then the appreciation of the work that goes behind the candle really then comes to play, because the way that we've done it, the way that, you know, the way that it burns, the way that the fragrance, you get bang for buck with fragrance. So the visual is fantastic, but ultimately then we've got to produce, right? And I think that for me has been very, very good. But the Memories range, which is kind of our signature range, is literally all just about, you know, place and time. And for me, whilst the well-being aspect of the fragrance is something, the pick-me-up of the colour is also something that's really striking.
Yeah, absolutely. And so obviously we met at Top Draw, and that's what actually led me to ask you the question about your products, how they were displayed, because something that I noticed just wandering around is that a lot of people, yourself included, have done a really great job of displaying the products in a way that you could imagine, yes, that's on a shelf somewhere. I mean, you touched on this a little bit, but how have trade shows sort of fit in to your business? Have they been a big part of you finding stockists, or?
They've been a key part. That not just finding stockists. There's three aspects to a trade show, excuse me, in my opinion. One, yes, of course, finding stockists is key. You know, you pay the money for a trade show in order to get some of the business back, which is great. I've taken on a number, but the real important thing, and I was told this right at the beginning, and they were 100% right, is that don't do too many to begin with, because you obviously need to show a certain level of loyalty to a trade show, because then those customers see you all the time. There'll be certain customers that will buy a few straight off the bat, but there are other ones that want to see, okay, I remember him on the last one. Is he still here this time? Is he still going to be here tomorrow? We're a young brand. You know, they want to make sure that you can deliver. So there are, especially just over the last year, there are stockists that I realized that saw me a year ago, saw me in spring, and then decided to buy off me now, just purely because they can see now that we're moving, and they remember it all. You know, they oh, you're the guy with those colors. They remember all that. So definitely we've had success with customers. What I also do with trade shows is I use them as inspiration. You know, you have got what I genuinely love about the gifting industry, which I struggle with at times with fashion. What I love about the gifting industry is it's full of entrepreneurs. Whether you're a retailer, whether you're a stockist, whether you are a budding designer, or whether you're somebody with a brand, everyone has got an entrepreneurial brain, and you should be inspired by everyone. And I sometimes am, you know, there are certain displays that I might do. And I thought, I wish I could do this. But there's a peer down the aisle, for example, that's gone so much more into that. You really bounce off each other. And there's almost an unspoken sense of camaraderie. Yes, you're all competing, but there's an unspoken sense of camaraderie and you can really get inspiration. But also after that, there are agents that are moving around. They're looking for the next brand. And I've taken three of my agents off the back of these trade shows. So it works in multiple facets, but ultimately, yes, you want to make some money.
Yeah, that makes sense what you're saying about inspiration. And I think if you're not looking quite at the point in your business where you're ready to exhibit, going to a trade show and just walking around, I'm not saying copy what someone else is doing, but just to get an idea of, okay, what's going on,
I give a lot of time. Maybe I shouldn't, but I don't care. I give a lot of time to a lot. They come and say openly, you know what, Demi, we love what you do. We think about doing a candle brand. And I know they won't copy me because their brand will die tomorrow. That's not the point. But to even for some advice, you know, you were a top job. I was a top job. I counted at one point in the morning with a cup of tea. There were 34 candle brands in there. You know, we all need business. But everyone's doing something different. And there is a way that you can do something different so long as you're true to your brand. And I think that for me was really striking about Top Draw. But yeah, I think I must have had about six or seven budding candle brands coming. And I think that's better than just copying something and just trying to do a stall in one of these, because you'll fail, because people will always remember the first people that do it. Whereas going and understanding and asking the questions that your podcast is doing, you know, we're approachable. We were them a year and a half, 2 years ago. You know, it's so I wish I knew about it. I mean, I did all the reading. I had no idea. And then I joined the Gifford Association. And all of a sudden, it's like I was like having all these experts that I can just speak to, that I can pick up the phone or email. That really helped.
And that's brilliant. Thank you. And if you don't mind, while we're on the topic of trade set shows, because I know this is something that a lot of my audience are starting to get interested in, do you have any other advice for, you know, things to do or maybe not do if you're thinking of exhibiting?
Regarding exhibiting, plan your stand. I think just try however you do it, try and make it look like a shop within a shop. That's how I always try to do it. You know, let the stockists imagine what your stuff's going to look like in a store, rather than just putting some tables out, some candles or whatever you're doing, jewelry or whatever. Just let them feel like, oh, this is a corner of our store that we really, really need. That's one. You can do that by cost effectively or spend whatever money that's fine. But I agree with what you say. Walk a couple of trade shows. You will know which one suits you. And one of the reasons I did Top Draw was because it's very designer led. And my product is very much like that. But I was conscious that, I mean, I was doing Autumn Fair and Spring Fair, which had been amazing for me, but I didn't want to rush into things. That was very, very good for me. But you might find that some trade shows might not be right for you. So do some research definitely before you spend your money, because they're not cheap. And you're going to want to stand at least, say, 2x2 or something like that. You know, if people are charging £500 a square meter, that's a lot of money that you need to make back. So you've got to be very careful.
Yeah, that's true. And I was also thinking, kind of, that's what you were saying earlier about you pick up the phone and you call stockists. I guess you probably also want to be sort of comfortable with doing that and having those kinds of conversations as well before you sort of get into a situation where you're going to be having hopefully lots of conversations with potential buyers.
Everyone's a salesperson. That's the thing. And that if you're not comfortable being a salesperson, then I would strongly suggest relooking about what it is that you want to do, because whether you are a stockist, whether you're sitting on your stand, and you've got to remember, I mean, you should probably saw loads of people are passing. You've got to almost put a hanger in your mouth and smile the whole time, and be able to relay everything across. And that it takes a lot. And I suppose my, you know, I'm still learning every day. My thing is, how do I get somebody to do that for me with the same sort of passion, because I love my product? You know, how do you do that? So that's something I need to look at. But whether you do that at a trade show or whether you do that over the phone, you need to be able to do that. And a lot of people will really jump on the back of your passion and coupled with that authenticity.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I know that I don't want to say strangely, but I think it maybe a lot of what I'm trying to say is a lot of people, I think, are a bit scared of selling. They might have a great product that they really believe in, but when it comes to selling it, they're a bit hesitant. I see this a lot. I mean, I see this in myself. I'm not always brilliant at selling my services.
I think the way around that is envisage where you want to be and what you want your product to do and how you're going to get there. How are you going to do that? You're not going to get there by just sitting on your hands and not speaking with anybody. You want to scream and shout about it. You're proud of your product. Right, that's the main thing. So, and don't get me wrong, it's hard. The first trade show, it was the first one I ever did on candles, etc. I thought, oh my God, you know, am I saying the right stuff? Am I working on the right markup? You know, are people wanting me to speak? But all of a sudden, you've got to be any salesperson will be personable. And all of a sudden, you just realize that it's just a lovely conversation. People are interested in your stuff. So once people are interested. I don't want to say get the sell but just really just relay, inform. And if they're exactly what you want, then have the further conversations. But they've been good fun. I look forward to the trade. I don't look forward to the build up and the breakdown. I'm going to say, my God, that's awful. But I love the trade shows generally. You meet so many different people and so I get inspired by so many stockists. I mean, there's a stockist that I worked with and they were the big one. I took at Autumn Fair last year. They had 7 stores then. They've now got 14 going up to 22. I mean, good on them. That's an inspiration in itself. That just shows you that if you want to get something done, you can. So it's been brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. And something, I mean, you probably won't say this about yourself, but one thing I will say that I think you do really well, and I thought this when I met you, is you've got a lot of, you know, when you talk about your products, when I met you, you talked about the well-being aspect, you talked about the memories they invoked. You had a lot of things to talk about. It wasn't a hard sort of sell. It was, you had a lot to share about your products, about what they meant to you, about where they came from. And I think that we're all people, right? We're all people. We all like to buy from people. And that's the kind of thing that makes you memorable and also makes it more of a conversation and less a sales pitch, because there's something you're telling, your genuine experience and story, and me as the person listening genuinely, I mean, that's why you're here, because I was genuinely this is really interesting, because if there's a story behind this and there's a passion, and I think we're, you know, people love stories.
I'm a bit of a hopeless romantic. I do love to take people on a journey. So one of the things I launched in spring, and now it's really coming to the fore, is I launched the Seasons candle, or rather my Seasons range, and they've gone down an absolute treat. So I thought, how do I do things a little bit different? And I wanted to really do a nice, I didn't do big candles before, and I wanted to do a nice, really, really big candle, a kilo candle. But I thought, if I'm going to do a kilo candle for somebody, I need it to adapt somehow throughout the season. Otherwise, what's the point? They're going to smell something, for example, in March that they're going to want to smell again in August. How do I change it? So I thought I'd do a candle that changes fragrance as you burn. And the reason I did that is, in fashion, we're working spring, summer, autumn, winter. So I thought, let me take the two seasons, marry them up. And the idea was, I can't remember if I showed this to you on my table, but
you did. I was very taken by this.
Oh, sorry.
But carry on though. Okay. I've seen it, no one else has. Carry on.
Okay, so they're beautiful luxury metal containers. And the idea is that one candle burns from a spring fragrance, and then goes into a summer fragrance, and it lasts 120 hours in total. And the other one goes from autumn to winter. But then at the same time, I've created a seeded dust card. So when you finish, you rip up the dust card, you plant it in the pot, and it grows meadow flowers from the same pot. So it's part of the whole, as I said, we're an eco-sustainable brand. It's probably reusing it all again, but and that's pure essential oil. So something totally, totally different. It's taken me aback. It took me about 9-10 months to develop, because obviously you want to make sure that the fragrances work, the wicks work, and all that sort of, you know. But then also the design aspects, you know, we have a lovely ombre effect on the boxes, and they're striking, and they're really, really good fun. So try to do something a little bit different. So I'm glad you remembered it.
I think that was an amazing gift. I saw that was the one where I thought, yeah, that's just a brilliant gift, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I can see that, you know, hopefully Christmas you'd do really well with those, because I think that's...
I've already had some pre-orders. Yes.
Yeah.
So, so we're tied up with... one of the best things actually that's happened off the back of one of the shows is I got introduced to a marquee hotel group, I don't know if I can mention the name or anything, but it's we've done so well with them. So they've taken our memories range, and they want to feature us on kind of their 12 days of Christmas now. So these candles that I'll talk about are part of that 12 days of Christmas.
Amazing. And while we're on the subject of Christmas, is there anything else that you do? So obviously we're speaking in end of September, Christmas isn't that far away. What are you doing and what would you advise people do to start gearing up for your Christmas sales? I mean, obviously we are getting a bit late now for Christmas, I'm well aware.
From a buying perspective or selling?
Yeah, from a selling.
My biggest advice would be, and I was actually talking to my production team about this today, is one thing I have noticed is that people are buying a lot earlier. And I think a lot of that is due to the reservation of what's going on with the dollar, or what's going on with freights, and what's basically going on with stock positions. So if any of your listeners are looking at getting in somewhere for Christmas, getting the stuff, then I think have a conversation now. Because leaving them any later will be a real problem. And also, if any of your listeners are looking at potentially doing, for example, corporate gifting, etc., have conversations with the corporate guys early, because please God, they'll sell out, but they want to be able to get their proper bang for buck on some of those big orders now. It's a real, real difficult time. We were very, very worried about what was going to happen with the energy prices in October, etc. Hopefully the government's kind of alleviated some of that, but we've noticed a lot of our stockers are buying big early. Just something to keep in mind for this year.
I think that's great advice. Thank you. And actually, I have also noticed this year, a lot of retailers and small independent businesses as well, who have maybe Christmas special Christmas items or Christmas ranges, have released them a lot earlier than normal. And I guess that's down to what you're saying, that we, people are buying early. So yeah, I think we're maybe not going to see the massive December sales we sometimes see, and maybe sales are going to come sort of a bit earlier.
Well, I didn't expect to have August sales the way I did. It shocked me. I remember I was on holiday. I was panicking, thinking, well, what are these orders coming in all of a sudden? So yeah, we don't know, but I just, from what I can tell, and I've spoken to a few people, there seems to be a big emphasis to buy early, make sure you've got your stock position set, and then move on. I even have somebody at the moment whose my candles have sold really well in one stockers. He's just rebuying now for Christmas and also wants to do a pre-order for Valentine's. a bit too early, but
good for you.
But yeah, it's lovely. But honestly, everyone's worried about their stocks, even from our perspective. You know, I mean, I was, you know, when I'm importing things, etc., you know, the dollar rate's gone from 130 to 105. So, you know, at one point, do you take a call, buy a little bit extra? It's tough, but you've got to manage those things.
Thank you. So I'm just be mindful of your time, Demi. I've one more question, which is a question I ask everyone who comes on the podcast, which is, what would your number one piece of advice for other product creators or potential product creators be?
Oh, just one. Authenticity.
I'll let you have more than one if you need.
Okay. Authenticity. Just be true to what it is you're trying to create. Don't veer from that. Have it all written down. Every decision you make, just make sure that it's authentic. And everyone can tell a contrived brand straight away. Everyone can tell a copycat straight away. Authenticity, and do that by researching. But what I would say as a second one is, do whatever you can to keep your costs down, because it's very, very easy to get out of control. You think about all the research and developments, etc., that you're doing. Just make sure you've got an eye over your costs. But authenticity and that, because ultimately it's all cash flow for a young business. So many businesses close within the first 3 years just purely because of cash flow as well. So from my perspective, you've got to have an eye on that and whatever you're developing.
That's great advice. Thank you. Because I think also it's quite easy to kind of lose track of the cash you're spending when you're sort of, especially when you're in the development stage and you're spending a little bit here and a little bit there. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. You need to just make sure that you know where you are financially and everything adds up. Well, thank you so much for everything that you've shared. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me. It's been great.
And I'm going to link to your website and your socials in the show notes. People can come over and have a look at your candles. Unfortunately, you won't be able to smell them unless you buy them, but you will be able to see them at least.
I promise they smell nice.
But you will be able to go and take a look. So thank you again.
Thank you, Vicky. That was lovely. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening all the way to the end of this episode. If you enjoyed it, please do leave me a review. That really helps other people to find this podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and do tell your friends about it too if you think that they also might enjoy it. You can find me at vickyweinberg.com. There you'll find links to all of my social channels. You'll find lots more information, all of the past podcast episodes, and lots of free resources too. So again, that's vickyweinberg.com. Take care, have a good week, and see you next time. Hi, this is just a little note to say, if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.